to philosophy, Dan Hutto from the University of Wollongong. Hello.
Hello, Nick. How are you going?
I thought of you because you spent a lot of time talking about civility in debate, and at heart, you know, what we're talking about here, this bit of legislation, is about civility in a way, or it's almost legalising non-civility. Well, what's your reaction to something like this?
Well, I think it's interesting, and you're certainly right. I mean, only yesterday I was giving a talk on civility and trying to get my head around whether that's a substantive moral virtue, which I think it is. I was defending that view. And therein, I think, it requires one to be communicative and showy in one's respect for others, right? So you have to, that's the nature of that virtue. So when you're coming to think about how to engage with someone, you should be careful to show respect to them and show respect to the positions that they hold, right? So that's, so you can see how this...
What if you don't feel that their position is respectable?
Well, and that's the interesting demand of that virtue. It does demand that, even if you should have that suspicion before you go in, right? And in fact, it's a kind of virtue that's required even more so in exactly those conditions, right? So if I'm likely to think that we're going to fundamentally disagree on a topic, I'm sort of obliged to be even more cautious in my engagement with you rather than less so. At least that's the way civility puts it. Now, there's quite a lot of thinking that goes the other way. One should make assessments of appraisals of a person's moral position, perhaps even the person themselves, and then decide whether they should show respect. So obviously there's, you know, different positions about how one might approach this. But if you're a friend of civility, you're going to think this is a requirement for having open discourse. And when you called me in this morning, I've been thinking about the nature of this particular bill. I don't know. I haven't thought an awful lot about it, but I've given it some momentary thought. And I suppose that one of the things that crosses my mind is the fact that the reason, I suppose, that this legislation is coming in, or the need for it, is that we don't have positive free speech laws in Australia in the same way that they have in other countries. So it's not as if...
How would that change things, do you think?
Well, I think it makes it... Well, you wouldn't need special legislation, I would assume, if people were able to express beliefs, religious or otherwise, that might, let's call it not offensive, but let's work back from that question. Mm. But certainly would be challenging even to the worldviews of other people, right? So, I mean, as a philosopher, that's my bread and butter. People disagree fundamentally on the most incredible topics. And for example, when you asked me to come on the show, I was thinking about this in terms of my own work that's much more removed, with which for many years I've been arguing against a particular version of what in the philosophical circles known as eliminative materialism, which is a view that there aren't persons in the world at all, right? Now, many people would find that view quite challenging.
Well, that's an extreme philosophical view, that there aren't persons.
That's right.
That we're all just matter. But we're not vibrating.
Well, we're not so much as that there is just matter and fissons and bosons and whatnot.
Yes, yes.
And that those kind of nihilist views say that there's no such thing as morality in any real objective sense either. I mean, they go so far as to make those claims, and they make them, of course, that's in the domain of academia, where one has academic freedom to push these positions. But my point was that just thinking about it, just to the ordinary ear, how absolutely outrageous those claims would be. Their one virtue might be that they're utterly challenging to most everyone, but those are positions that are advanced. And if you looked at this going the other way, say a strong atheist position, you know, expressed, can be, let's call it, deeply challenging, at least in some versions. This is, I think, the fine line. Potentially offensive in the other direction. So
what I wanted to get at was that this seems to exempt people of religious faith from being attacked or from being subject to anti-discrimination laws. Fine, but does it work the other way? If I was a staunch atheist and I said, you know, it is not a virtue to believe in something without evidence. That's what faith is. That's probably offensive. It could very well be threatening.
Well, I think that...
Even if I said it in a nice tone of voice.
Well, the interesting thing is that that's exactly... And this is, I think, the fine line on where people, and this is of course a hot button issue, is what constitutes harassment or vilification, and that's going to be the practical tricky part of that bill, right? So when you look at actual cases, I wouldn't even want to begin to try to figure out people's intent in their speech, right? That's a very tricky...
That is the hard part.
Yeah, that's a tricky business.
You're reading someone's mind.
Oh, and I don't think you can do that. That's actually some of my primary research. I think we have to go by what interactions we get from people and really believe we have the capacity to just get inside other people's heads easily in that way. So in that case, you really have to go with what's in front of you. But you're right, the case of somebody who has staunch atheist views, for somebody whose worldview is built on a completely religious foundation, they are going to be as challenging as many of the views that, say, religious people hold that will challenge others. And so what you've got, that's why I said when I came in, I was thinking more about it. You're right, it's kind of the question about a general account of how can we both have freedom of belief and expression alongside some control on that modulates against hate speech.
Would a lot of this be made simpler by, as you mentioned, having positive free speech laws in Australia to say, you, as long as you're not inciting violence, mm-hmm. then you can say what you like?
Well, in the common law, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. Let me stress this, and this was just casual. I looked at it this morning. It even, interestingly, gives some protection against blasphemy, right? In those, so if you go back to the more common laws that modulate this, I think if you had a positive capacity for everyone to hold opinions and recognition that people hold views that they may well be better or less founded, right? So, I mean, the interesting thing is not for a philosopher, it's not always the view you're holding, but what's the reasons why you hold it? What's the basis of it? So, I mean, longer discussions and more challenging discussions are the ones where you get into, as you just said, where people challenge the belief that you hold in either direction, right? And I've seen both. I've seen positions that, you know, steadfast believers have been put on the fence by atheists and vice versa, right? Because there's lots of arguments that you can bring to bear in different directions. And that's what a conversation looks like in the removed world of philosophy, right? I think when it comes down to practical differences, and that's why people get animated, that's where these kind of things make a difference. But this bill is seemingly about expression and
expression. It is, but it seems to be specifically about statements made on religious belief. Mm. Occasionally, people will say to, you know, you're very stubborn atheist. Well, that's a religion in itself. Philosophically, could you defend that? Could you say atheism is its own religious belief?
Believe me, in philosophy, you can defend anything. How well you defend it is a different matter, right? So you can make that you can begin to try to make an argument. That's the sense. And the quality of those individual arguments, or even whole classes of them, might not go very far. I don't think trying to argue that an atheist is adopting a religious perspective will go very far with your interlocutor if they're making a claim. But strong naturalists do make claims that quite a lot of the things that other people hold dear, and these are beliefs that are, to put it in terms that people talk about now, you know, fundamental to their identities, right? And so you're raising questions about things, but that's been going on for literally aeons. I mean, we've had a lot of time to get used to the idea that people are going to have views that don't gel with those that we hold. The question is, how do you handle that in a proper multicultural society, right? And where there's different sects and different views. Trying to tolerate the idea that others aren't always going to agree with you on fundamental matters, I think, is crucial. And then that brings us back again to how do we conduct ourselves. So, I mean, one thought might be, it doesn't matter how radical or offbeat your views are. It matters a lot how you engage with others when you're discussing them, right? And the context in which you're doing that. If that's trying to harass or bully, right? There are clear instances where that does happen. And then there are less clear-cut cases where people are taking offense, perhaps when no offense was in fact intended.
Well, you can't legislate civility, but I suppose you can encourage it.
You can encourage it. I think some countries do legislate it a bit, and there is some degree of hate speech law in Australia. So I think it's not as if there's no attempt to control it. But yes, you can set,
I get uncomfortable with that as well, because that's reading your mind as well. I can make statements which people say, that means you hate me.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I'm just stating what seems logical.
Well, you
to
can.
Me.
So one way you can set norms and even encourage civil discussion is you can decide. So I was drawing on Confucius and other Chinese philosophers just yesterday, who embed certain rituals of courtesy, right? So there are things you can do to help in a meta way set the stage for courteous discussion. Right, so you can militate, not by making law always, and maybe law is the luck, it's not the best way to run our lives. If everything is driven through laws, then things have come off the rails already, right? So I think it's trying to encourage a better way of engaging with one another that doesn't require us to go to court every 5 minutes.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Mm. Dan Hutto, thank you for coming in. Always nice to have an actual human to talk to.
Delighted to be back in this seat.
We're legally able to have people in the studio as of yesterday, so I'm
it's
glad you're one of
great
our...
Great talking to you again, and see you, I hope, again sometime in the near future.
Let's do it again.
Cheers.
Brett's a professor of philosophy at the School of Liberal Arts, University of Wollongong, Dan Hutto. Here at ABC Illawarra Mornings.